Welcome, dumbheads, to this week's Megasode of MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Monday through Saturday, I drop one episode per day identifying the dumbest thing on every single goddamn page of Heroes Unlimited, the gloriously ramshackle superhero RPG from Palladium Books. On Sundays, I combine all the week's previous episodes in one Megasode, like this one. If you'd like to play along at home, we're reading Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, 2nd printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 222 of Heroes Unlimited. Triple digits, 222. An auspicious day. If I knew anything about numerology, I'm sure I'd have some bullshit to say about how important and aligned and harmonious this all is, but I don't. What I do know is that it is a momentous day because this is the last day of discussing power categories in this book. We have been talking about Heroes Unlimited power categories now for, I think, 130 pages. We've really gotten into a groove with the podcast, and the episodes are about to start sounding very different. I could have done a big production for today. I could have had, you know, special episode art or special music or something like that. But I'm a lazy man at heart, and so I decided instead to pare things down, to simply hone in on an exemplary bit of dumbness here with the Super Sleuth character. For those who aren't familiar with it, here's the basic thing about the Super Sleuth. It's the Private Eye character. It's the Gumshoe. The Super Sleuth gets good skills. All the investigative skills that they need, plus a pretty good selection. You know, they get one additional skill program at a plus 15%, not too bad. They get a lot of grab bag skills that you wouldn't often find in the same character because they come from different skill categories. So this character knows criminal science, law, research, but also surveillance systems, also has some weapon proficiencies, knows hand-to-hand combat, and importantly, computer skills. This character has very strong computer operation, and as we're going to see, is also a computer hacker. The character gets a pretty strong budget with which to buy investigative equipment. They get a crime lab where they get all kinds of like microscopes and computers and printers, and they get a budget to buy like cameras and bugs and stuff like that. And they get two special skills, see through disguise and forgery, which is a special percentile ability to see through disguise and forgery. Note that there's no system for this in the rest of the game, so I don't know if this means that other characters can't attempt to see through a forgery, or if there is some, you know, undisclosed percentile, and this, I guess, presumably is better than that. It's one of those things that is only mentioned in the context of, like, this character can do it 48% of the time, and then how often can everybody else do it? Who knows, and who cares? Unless you're playing a game with a detective, probably it will not be forgery heavy. And then computer hacking. Weirdly, the Super Sleuth, the Two-Fisted Gumshoe, is the premier computer hacker of Heroes Unlimited. This may sound familiar to you because the hardware electronics character also is a hacker. Like the Super Sleuth, the hardware electronics character gets a special computer hacking skill with a list of big penalties that stack up. Both characters have a very high hacking skill. Both characters can exceed 100% in it. The Super Sleuth is just a teeny bit better. And this is like kind of a detective skill, I guess. Like you wouldn't expect to find it in a noir movie or a typical detective novel. But, you know, it's investigative, I suppose. It's not a choice to be like the iconic skill of the sleuth, but whatever. I'm not even here to talk about the design of this character because honestly, I'm biased. When I was a kid, I didn't play much Heroes Unlimited, but I kind of sort of played it with my dad, and he played a Super Sleuth character called Marco McDonald, and I have fond memories of that. The Super Sleuth character is therefore like, it has a special place for me, and I'm not about to complain about the fact that basically it's a hacker character class with a picture of a detective. Here's what I will complain about. This 130 or whatever pages of power categories, it has been plagued, as all Palladium products are, with constant repetition, blind cutting and pasting. And we saw this in the skill section as well. Skills that were clearly taken from other games that hadn't been adjusted to match Heroes Unlimited. Missile and robotics rules, obviously taken from Robotech that do not work in this context. This game is a patchwork of other Palladium products in many places. It's a plague. So naturally, when we've got two character classes that are the two premier hackers in Heroes Unlimited, both of whom have a special skill of computer hacking, both of whom can exceed 100% in that skill, and both of whom have, therefore, attached a list of penalties to computer hacking specifically designed to apply to all characters in order to keep the hacker-focused hero relevant, naturally, you would cut and paste the rules from one hacker into the other hacker. But they didn't. And that's the dumbest thing on this page. Infuriatingly. And like, I'm not going to be histrionic about this, because this is white hot fury. This is like, after 222 pages of this bullshit, I'm just like focused like a laser beam on the unbelievable incompetence of this book. All you had to do was what you do best, Palladium. All you had to do was cut and paste the list of computer hacking penalties from one place in the book to the other so that we would know whenever we try to hack a computer, regardless of what power category we're in, what the difficulties are. And instead, you rewrote the table with the same entries. So like both entries give, you know, this is the difficulty to break a simple security system. This is the difficulty to break a moderately sophisticated computer system. This is the difficulty to break a super sophisticated security program. But you change the numbers so that these two tables, which I remind you are the computer hacking rules for all characters, give different lengths of time to completion and skill penalties for the same tasks. Why on earth would you do this? Like, much of the text manifestly is cut and pasted, or I guess retyped. So why? Well, I mean, you had it right there. These are the rules for computer hacking. Why would you deliberately change them so that you have two disagreeing versions in your book? The wording is too similar for these not to be either retyped or copied and pasted. There are slight variations. Like the hardware electrical character mentions reprogramming AIs. That's been removed for the detective because, weirdly, even though computer programming is a prerequisite for computer hacking, the detective doesn't have it. So he is a hacker, but he doesn't necessarily know any programming, which means he probably wouldn't use this ability to reprogram a robot. So that's fair enough. It doesn't make any sense, but it's a sound articulation of your nonsensical mechanics that you would change that wording. But in the process, you also change the numbers. It's like they thought better of it. Like whoever was writing this on the second time around, reprinting these rules later in the very same book, thought, you know, that minus 15% was a little too high. Let's make it minus 10. I mean, let's not go back and change the original version that we printed in the same book mere pages ago and that we are still, like, we're pre-publication at this point, keep in mind. This is all, like, laid out on the light board in the Palladium offices. We're still putting the book together. We're physically putting the book together. And we've cut and pasted something to reprint on a later page. And then we're like, oh, let's just change it. I know we already put these rules in the book. Let's keep them the way they are, but then let's do a different version, a consciously contradictory version of the same rules later in the book, overtly and deliberately, because I guess I'm possessed by Satan. Like, I have no explanation for why you would do this. It, of course, breaks computer hacking. We've got two character classes that have it at their core. So let's give contradictory rules so that computer hacking doesn't work for anybody. There's nothing else to say here, but I guess a closing remarks on the power categories in this game. There's so much fun. The stage magician. Goofy as hell. I fucking love it. Playing a detective, like a Sam Spade detective in a superhero team, fantastic. The physical training power category, let me play a boxer who just boxes the shit out of criminals and then, as he advances in level, eventually like boxes the shit out of aliens and robots. Yes, please. The robotics section where I get a budget and I get to design a robot to my own specifications, a 12-year-old's dream. Aliens, I get to be an alien and look like a rhinoceros or a wildebeest, and I'm like a weirdo and I speak other languages, and I got a jetpack, and I get to have another power category? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. These power categories are like the heart of why I love Heroes Unlimited. It's certainly not the rules. This is why this is season 2 of MDC, is because of the power categories. That said, shit like this sometimes gets under my skin because this game is at its best when it is exuberant. And there is, to me, no way to read this kind of mistake except for a profound failure to care about whether this game works. There's an alternate reality. I hesitate to say this because I don't want to get too serious, and I feel like there's a well of feeling here that maybe I does not belong on the air, but let me just put it out there and maybe I'll edit it. There is an alternate reality in which Heroes Unlimited, a comprehensive, well-beloved superhero game, an early entry in the market, pretty much ubiquitous in game stores because of that early entrance into the market. There is an alternate reality in which Heroes Unlimited is now in its fifth fucking fantastic edition, is the superhero game where the nerdy fucking 12-year-old comic book fans of today are flipping it open thinking, I get to play an alien who's also a robot? Sweet. And they're like sketching their character on binder paper. Kids don't use binder paper nowadays, right? Children are no longer familiar with the concept of paper, but whatever. They still draw robots. I know that. there is a world in which Heroes Unlimited is still delighting people the way that it delighted me, instead of being the subject of this grumpy fucking podcast. And the difference between that reality and this one is not creativity and enthusiasm and this like cut loose comic book loving aesthetic, which is all in Heroes Unlimited. The difference is that basic level of caring whether this is a good game and a good book. A basic attention to making sure that when you copy something from one place to the other, you like keep the rules the same. Just over the space of one book. Not that you can't revise, not that you can't do errata. Just if you say the rule is one thing on page 120, maybe on page 220, don't say it's another thing. Don't deliberately change it to another thing. Edit and spell check your work. If you've tried and failed to say the same thing over a whole page of garbled nonsense, maybe just go back and edit it down to your last clearest attempt. Just simple, like the very minimum level of quality for published work. A service that easily could have been performed by like one hired editor. Kevin Sambita didn't need to do this himself, and he didn't need to have a family member do it. He could have hired one professional at any point over the period where this game was still like successful and well-known. And he could have saved this and turned it into something that would still be like attractive and inspirational to young gamers. And instead, I feel like now it is largely the domain of old nerds who have nostalgia for it from days before they were critical of the games that they played and read. And it is just this infuriating lack of attention to detail or like basic coherence of writing. That's the only thing that has relegated Heroes Unlimited to being now, I think, a footnote largely, rather than the fantastic, imaginative font of creativity that it was for me personally in my childhood. So a bit of a wistful end, a bit of unexpected melancholy to end the power categories, which I love and which frustrate me so much. The twin engines that push this podcast ever onward. Oh, wait, I forgot to mention the Super Sleuth can optionally take psychic powers of object read, speed reading, total recall, and sixth sense, and be a latent, perhaps even unconscious psychic who has channeled his psychic powers into being a film noir style PI. Never mind, Heroes Unlimited. I love you again. Today we're discussing page 223 of Heroes Unlimited, and it is an exciting day. We are entering into the super abilities section, and in a larger sense, we're moving beyond power categories now into a big old chunk of the book that is going to describe superpowers, psionic abilities, magical spells. This is where we pay off the promise of all these power categories that told us we were going to be able to do fantastical things, comic booky feats of crime fighting and cosmic power. Now is the time when those are actually described. It's also an exciting time because this is where we're going to, for the most part, wrap up Borgen. We're going to have some business to take care of with equipment for her maybe a little bit later, probably little to no additional equipment since she is an alien. So really, the one remaining burning question is, what are her powers? What makes her a superhero, other than being an adorable pug girl from the stars? But that's all coming later when we actually get to those tables. For now, you know, it's time to take a step back, take care of some foundational business for the reader of Heroes Unlimited, and ask, what is a superpower? Now, I'm not sure how you get to page 223 of a superhero role-playing game without having a concept of what superpowers are. But if you have somehow lost your way, if, for example, this book fell on you while you were looking for your contacts on the floor of a game store and you bumped into a shelf, a scenario like that, then this page has got you covered because it is going to tell you not exactly what superpowers are, but many other tangential, confusing, and mostly wrong facts about other things. Most of this page is actually taken up by an illustration of a sort of devil-themed, grimacy-looking superhero phasing his way through a wall. There's like some kind of a band poster behind him, and that picture's fine. We don't really need to discuss it. As a result, there's little text on this page, so I'm just going to go through it with a critical eye, you know, using my writing consultant skills that I honed at university, asking about audience. This is for the player of Heroes Unlimited, who, let's say, is deciding what kind of character to make, or maybe has already rolled a character who gets superpowers, and wants to know, hey, I was raised by the Amish and never heard of a comic book until I lost my Amish contact lenses in this game store. What is a superhero? How helpful would this page be to that audience? Here's some highlights from the aimless spray of words on this page. Quote, unlike magic, which is a learned skill in channeling a powerful force, not necessarily, super abilities come from within the person and are as natural to the super being as seeing, hearing, and speaking is to us. This is, of course, not true. Many character classes have superpowers that they acquired through training. For example, the strength of the physical training character or the imperviousness to flame of the ancient master. So already, first paragraph, what are superpowers? Wrong, wrong, wrong. Now we go to our first heading under the super abilities section. Who has super abilities? As it turns out, quote, super abilities manifest themselves in several ways. The most common is exposure to an outside stimulus that triggers a reaction and change in the human body. In short, mutation. Okay, so it's this shit again. Having tried and failed for the entire duration of the mutant section of this book to explain what a mutant and what a mutation is, the author has taken a second pass here in the super abilities section. Already, sentence one, the author has forgotten what this section is supposed to be about and is back on to trying to describe what a mutant is. This time, his attempt is that exposure to an outside stimulus that triggers a reaction in the human body is mutation. It's like how when you fall and break your leg, that's a mutation. Or when you get a tattoo, that's a mutation. Quote, this exposure can be accidental or purposely induced, experimentation and deliberate genetic manipulation. But the results are the same. An ordinary human is transformed into something more than human, at least when it comes to raw power. Mutants, and mutants here is in italics, but don't let that fool you into thinking it has a particular meaning. As always, it is an undefined term. Mutants can also be the result of random genetic mutation. Natural selection gone wild. All right. So first of all, we've now narrowed down the meaning of mutant to anyone whose body is altered congenitally or due to outside forces. And number two, we've identified a subclass of mutants, which are those who underwent random genetic mutation, which is, of course, an instance of natural selection, except that this is completely wrong. All of this is wrong. Random genetic mutation is not the same as natural selection. A change in the body due to outside stimulus is not necessarily a mutation. We get some elaboration on this, fortunately. Quote, in this case, i.e. the case of natural selection, i.e. a random genetic mutation, the character has probably grown up thinking he or she was an ordinary human, but at a particular time in their life, typically in the teen years or as a response to trauma or crisis, boom, they do the impossible. So in case you were unclear on what natural selection is, natural selection is the force that causes random genetic mutations that then manifest at random in one's teenage years. We're really getting a biology lesson here. All of this is wrong, of course, but, saving grace, it also has nothing to do with the topic at hand, so it is not materially wrong. It's like perjury. It's like you can lie all you want as long as you're not talking about the topic at hand. You know, did you direct your subordinates to obstruct justice? Senator talks to his lawyer for a moment. Well, I'd just like to comment that the Earth is a flat disk, and the moon landing was a fictional teleplay starring James Stewart. You're fucking bulletproof if you say that shit. Hot legal tip. It's not perjury if you're just rambling absolute nonsense. And so the text goes on. What are we even talking about? What is this paragraph about? Apparently, it's about what constitutes a mutant. Quote, this kind of superability manifestation is most common in alien races that have evolved with strange genetic structures, but a number of humans also spontaneously manifest powers in this way. Alien is italicized so that we make sure, you know, we want the reader to come away from this with a really strong sense, okay, there's mutants who are anybody, and then aliens who are aliens, but also commonly are mutants, but could be whatever. Remember, the words in italics, note them down. They don't have definitions, but they are important. Anyway, the material, like the thrust of this sentence is, the kind of mutation where you just randomly develop powers is most common in aliens, but also happens in humans, which incidentally is not true. There is a random table for determining whether aliens are mutants, and a random table for determining whether humans are mutants, and there's an equal chance, 10% in both cases. So, again, this sentence, both irrelevant and false. All right, get ready. In the real world, now we're talking about the real world. Tread lightly, author. I know that you won't. In the real world, most mutants are deformed, crippled, or so different that they cannot survive. Most die. False. Very heartless. A terrible way to refer to real human beings. And yet, also completely irrelevant to the question of who has super abilities. So never let it be said that the author of Heroes Unlimited maintained a train of thought for even 1 second. Quote, in the fantasy world of Heroes Unlimited, mutants are normal men, women, and sometimes animals that undergo a beneficial and astonishing transformation. They remain fundamentally human in many respects. They catch colds, can have children, and are often driven by their emotions, desires, and fears, but part of them is forever changed. So we've got another paragraph specifically about mutants here. I don't know why. I mean, it goes without saying that a mutant animal, first of all, is not really like the kind of superpowered mutant being described here, and secondly, is not fundamentally human as described here. And many superheroes, in fact, have abilities in alternate forms such that they don't catch colds or have children or whatever. All, you know, false, irrelevant, and that's it. That's the whole page. It's hard to identify a dumbest thing here because these words are not about what they purport to be about. I can't, in fact, discern any point to any of the false statements here. This reads very much as though it is a child's book report on a book that he has not read. And so he just came up with like a topic that seemed like what I learned from Heroes Unlimited. Well, I would have learned who has superpowers. So my speech today is who has superpowers. And then he's so nervous that he immediately starts talking about something else. This is that, except written by an adult and published. And about his own book. don't forget that. It is a failed book report about the book he wrote in that book. And he still couldn't remember what the fuck he was supposed to be talking about or what's going on. Anyway, you know, what did we learn today? We learned that a mutant is anybody whose body has changed for any reason. A mutant may be an alien. Aliens are often mutants, more often than humans. That turns out not to be true. Most mutants in real life die, also not true. Animals are fundamentally human. Up is down, right is wrong. The words in this book have no meaning. This game is unplayable. The author can't remember what we're doing here. I can't remember what we're doing here. Is this a real podcast, or have I had a total mental breakdown and I am sitting in front of a hairbrush and a microphone stand talking to no one? Who knows, and ultimately, who cares? Because by next episode, the author will have run out of rambling bullshit about superpowers, and we'll move on to something like actual rules content, and we get to start talking about superpowers for real on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Today we're discussing page 224 of Heroes Unlimited, and it's going to be a little bit of a meta day today. Just bear with me. It's going to be a veritable pop-up video of behind-the-scenes information about Mega Dumbcast, just really by chance. But it's a series of events triggered by what is in fact the dumbest thing about this page, which is that it is so incredibly pointless and dull. Here's what happened. This is the most recorded episode of Mega Dumbcast. I pored over this page, trying to find something to say about it. It's at the beginning of the super abilities section, but it doesn't really have very much to do with superpowers per se. It's more of a definition of terms. You know, it starts with some holdover from last page where we talk about, like, now these are the kinds of characters who can have superpowers. And last page was about trying to define what a mutant is. Now this page goes on to describe, like, quote, a category of superhuman that is often overlooked is the psychic individuals. You know, one reason it's often overlooked is because psychic powers aren't superpowers in this game. That's another section. Why are you talking about this? Next paragraph, quote, another means of superhuman obtaining power among humans is artificial augmentation. First of all, great sentence, good job. Secondly, it goes on to say, quote, this typically comes in the form of robotics. This is far from superpowers. What are we doing? Then we get a rundown of how attacks per melee work, with the note that they work for superpowers the same way they work for everything else, which, let's go over it again, since we're on page 224, so presumably you don't yet fully grasp the advanced kindergarten technique of taking turns. It's, oh my god, this page. So I go through all this stuff, and I'm making my notes on the page, as I usually try to do, and I'm kind of coming up blank. Like, there's something under duration here, under the heading of duration, where it says permanent. Quote, a few super abilities have effects that last indefinitely or permanently. Again, it should be obvious from the description whether or not the effect is permanent or instant. And I did, you know, because I'm desperate to find something to talk about on this page, I go looking for permanent superpowers. First of all, I discover that there are only like three abilities in the whole superpower section that are defined as permanent. Putting out a fire, creating a stone wall with the control elemental force earth power and cutting a gem with gem control powers. And of course, these are all things that happen instantaneously. They're not things like your superpowers do not keep the gem cut until you command otherwise. They just cut the gem and then it's done. It's more of an instant effect, which, by the way, is another separate category described on this page. So I kind of, you know, half-heartedly in my notes, I'm like, okay, well, for duration, this page describes what it is to be permanent and what it is to be instant. But permanent doesn't work the way they say it does. And in any case, it's a common English word with a common English meaning. And thirdly and finally, there are only three powers in the whole goddamn book that define themselves as permanent. But I can't make a podcast about this. But I tried. I did try. So I sat down to record, as I always do. I have my chunk of time to record the week's MDC. So I started to talk about this page. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not ashamed to say it. It's the fault of the material. I bored myself to tears. I just stopped. I stopped recording midway through. And I'm like, oh God. Oh God. I can't release this. So I stopped. And I started again. And it happened again. I'm running out of time. The daylight is passing. I have other things to do in my life. I can't spend all my time on this podcast. So I shut down the document, you know, the audio project. I refocused. I made some more notes. I gathered my thoughts. And then finally, I recorded the episode with my microphone switched all the way off. So here we are again. It is days later because I did not realize at the time that my microphone was off. So I've had to go back in time. To earlier in the podcast, I've had to revisit this page. It's like that dream where you have to go like back to high school, the class you forgot about. I have to go back to page 224 and talk about this bullshit again. Now, this may make me seem like a weak podcaster. This may, you would think, expose like maybe I'm not as cut out for this as I thought that I was. Maybe my inability to make chicken salad out of chicken shit in this instance shows that I'm a minor leaguer. But no, I can defend myself. In a way, I'm fortunate that it was this bullshit page that I had to revisit so often, because this page, while not the dumbest, is maybe the most boring page that we've talked about on the podcast. So boring, in fact, that even the folks at Palladium apparently couldn't keep their eyes open through it. They made a mistake here I didn't realize until I read the next page, and it's the dumbest thing in this page, and very telling about quite how boring this all is. So once I moved past this boring-ass page, I moved on to page 225. That's when I realized there is a discrepancy. On this page, 224, in the big heading, it says terms and notes. We're now moving into the terms and notes section. This is where we're going to be defining common rules, concepts, and plain-ass English words. This continues on to the next page. I'm very sorry. Subhead number one, number of attacks per melee. Here we talk about how attacks per melee work again. Subhead number two, savings throws against super abilities. Oh, by the way, in the middle of all this boringness, there is a rule that came as a shock to me that superpowers, if they can't be dodged, apparently give you a saving throw. So even if a superpower doesn't define that you can save against it, you can, with some difficulty that it says will be described in the individual power but isn't. I have no idea how this is supposed to work. Like, it calls out gravity control as a power you can save against. Like, you know, the nefarious stoner villain Gravity Bong approaches you and is like, haha, I will lift you up into a zone of zero G so you cannot stop me from stealing all the fucking Hostess fruit snacks. But then you get to make a save. And if you roll a 16, I guess it's just like, you just clench your fists and grit your teeth. And you're like, I refuse to respect gravity. Willpower, don't fail me now. And you just stand there on the ground, unaffected by everything being lifted into the air around you, just retaining your weight out of sheer spite. Whatever. As is a trend in this section, this ridiculous thing gets dropped on us with no explanation of when it applies. So other than increase weight and reduce gravity, which are called out here as permitting a saving throw, despite the fact that the powers themselves don't mention it, and mind control, which is described in its own section as granting a save, there's no indication of which powers give saves and which ones don't. So I don't know. Do whatever you want with this rule. Anyway, that's the section about saving throws, right? Next subhead, duration. And this is where we talk about, you know, what a melee round is, again. Instant effects, permanent effects, how you can cancel a power. If you start using a superpower and then you want to stop using that power, then you can stop. Boring, boring, boring. But then on page 225, a strange thing happens. And I'm going to read you the transition from page 224 to 225. And this is a test for you. Will this be boring? Yes, it will. But To get the full experience and understand what I went through and what the authors and editors of this game went through, you need to go through it too, so buckle in. And let me read this with all of the feeling it deserves. In all cases, unless stated otherwise, the super being can cancel, stop, the effect of one of his own long-lasting powers, like darkness or gravity manipulation, at any time, regardless of the duration. The duration listed is the maximum possible duration. The exact length of time the power runs or remains in effect is up to the character who unleashed it. The creator of the unnatural effect can cancel slash stop its influence instantly at any time. Likewise, the character does not have to create the effect for its full duration, or damage, or range, etc., but can impose any amount of time as long as it does not exceed the maximum possible duration. The effects of most long-term or area effect super abilities stop the instant their creator is killed. Forces that require the super being's control and or concentration will stop or run amok when he is rendered unconscious. However, their amazing powers are so second nature to most super beings that even forces that require their attention can be maintained while they are using other power skills or focusing on other matters. This is often reflected in the power description when it points out that to maintain the effect, the character loses one, two, or whatever number of attacks per round that the character remains in force. Of course, there are a few in which total concentration is necessary and no other actions are possible, but these are in the minority. A failed save means full damage and or penalties apply. A successful saving throw means the character beats the attack and fights against his deadly power or debilitating influence. Do you see what just fucking happened there? We're talking about saves again. We switched from talking about duration to talking about saves under the duration subheading. And do you know why? Do you know why, dumbheads? Because remember, this game was manually cut and pasted together. Someone fucking cut and pasted the entire duration section into the middle of the save section, and no one noticed. This text runs together so much and is so incoherent, so mind-numbing, that someone cut and pasted an entire other section into the middle, in between two paragraphs that are meant to go together, into a whole different section about a whole different thing, and it doesn't even register, because the rest of the text is so boring and so disjointed. Now, you know, the editing, as we know, in Heroes Unlimited is pretty spotty. But honestly, here I feel bad for the editor. I mean, I can sympathize. It's hard to follow this. It's hard to try to track what the hell the author is talking about. I think that this is the only place in this little section where there is actually a misordering of paragraphs. But the reason it's so hard to catch is because none of the rest of this shit should be here either. You know, like the very beginning section where we're talking about like robots and psychics here in the super ability section, there's no reason for us to be talking about that. If the editor stopped every time a paragraph was there and the editor was like, why are we talking about this? They would never finish their job. They just have to accept words are just going to come at me hard. They're going to come at me fast. I got to make sure they're spelled right. And when they refer to something being in this book, maybe let's check and make sure that actually is in this book. You know, maybe when the author starts talking about, you know, Zentradi forces, let me just like rein it in. It's like, oh yeah, this is actually text from another book that doesn't belong here. That's the level of like emergency damage control the editor has been tasked with. I can forgive the editor maybe for failing to catch that there's a whole section of this chapter pasted into the middle of another section, because honestly, you could just cut up these whole, like this stretch of three pages, William Burroughs style, and just like throw it in the air, reassemble it on the ground, and it would be no less comprehensible. And indeed, my experience of reading these pages was much like my experience of reading The Naked Lunch, what with the incoherent, disjointed prose and the occasional like mind-blowing gems, like the fact that apparently every superpower gives a saving throw, however illogical. It was very much like reading The Naked Lunch. It was just like blah, 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 blah. Eyes are drifting. My mind is like going to, you know, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? And then all of a sudden something hits you like wham. I'm like, what? Huh? I understood that and it was weird. I do not pretend to have exactly sucked the marrow out of Naked Lunch. My time is, of course, better spent on truly literary pursuits like this podcast. So anyway, that's it. My, I guess, fourth time recording an episode. I feel drained. I don't feel good. But I'm glad that it's over. This is probably the best version, for what it's worth, of this episode. But, you know, I'm in good company. This page obviously makes everybody's eyes glaze over, even the folks who work at Palladium. So I'm just glad it's done. Or rather, it's done for me. Hey, look, I had to record these episodes out of order. We've still got a boring page to go. But we don't. You do. So join past Chris tomorrow for one more page of boring bullshit while I sail on out of here into the future on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Today we're discussing page 225 of Heroes Unlimited. I'm sick of this bullshit. We are on the third continuous day of rambling on by the author at the top of the super abilities section, which is supposed to be, is allegedly about superpowers, but is actually about just so many things. So many things that happen to be on Kevin Sambita's mind. For example, on this page, we talk about the idea of levels of experience. Now, you may recognize this term from every role-playing game, especially up to the point of the publication of Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition. But it's important now, you know, at the brink of talking about these superpowers we've been promised, these 225 pages so far, it's important at this point to take a step back and once again talk about the idea of levels of experience. Likewise, hey, range. Superpowers have range. We wouldn't want you to get confused, so let's break it down. Quote, range indicates the maximum distance the power, energy, bolt, magnetic effect, etc., can be cast. It may be limited to X number of feet per level, touch, or radius, area of an effect. Unless stated otherwise, it is assumed that a particular power affects only one character slash opponent slash victim at a time. All area effects will define their radius of influence. Spoilers, they won't. We go on to talk about line of vision. Now, you would think you would use the more typical, you know, line of sight terminology, but no, line of vision is the terminology in Heroes Unlimited. And if you're not familiar with the concept of vision, what happens is you see people. Typically, that's the way it works. There are people around you and you see them. But if you can't see them, you may have difficulty aiming at them. Many powers under range, when we're talking about, you know, casting a projectile or bolt of energy some distance, will also require a line of vision. Now, it's not that you can't just target an area or an object. It's that if you can't see someone, I guess you wouldn't know where to shoot, right? Are you following me so far? Because there are pages and pages of this. Just keep in mind. Should I keep quoting? Are we 100% crystal fucking clear on the idea that you would need to see something to aim at it? All right. In that case, I'll feel free to skip this section. Maddeningly, though, this remedial-level rehashing of the English language is interspersed with all kinds of weird idiosyncrasies that the author just tosses out as though they're common sense. Like, if an ability has a range of touch, first we have to define what touch means. In summary, it's touch. But then, get this, quote, in most cases, but not all, the character can affect two people with one attack by touching both at the same time. When in doubt, the GM always has final say. Now, what the fuck is this out of nowhere? Didn't you just say that unless otherwise specified, an ability targets one person? Now you're saying, by default, if something has a range of touch, it can affect two people. Some of the time, but not all of the time, because you can take one action to touch two people. Which comes out of nowhere, because there are lots of powers and abilities that require touch. And those are one action per attack per touch. Right? Like, if you can shock somebody by touching them because you're a robot, you touch one person. Or if you're like a master of snake style from Ninjas and Super Spies and you got to poke somebody to give them the death touch, that's one attack, one action, you touch one person. You don't get a free death touch because you're like poking in two directions at once. This comes out of nowhere. The idea that you can do two touch attacks for the price of one, never seen before, as far as I know, and won't be mentioned again, as far as I know. Like, these powers don't go on to remind you of this. So if forgivably, your eyes glazed over these three pages of defining common English words, you could easily miss the fact that, oh, BTW, when you're doing an electrical touch attack, you can kind of flap your hand around and touch multiple people and they all get electrified. And then immediately after that revelation, we're on to once again describing what a called shot is. Only this time, instead of one of the, I don't know, three or four at this point different contradictory rules about how called shots work, there are no rules at all. Just a description of what a called shot is. It's where you target a specific part of something. Thanks so much. Thank you so, and what I love about this too is so many of these things, which are pointless to bring up in the first place, there is no content. There are no rules. Like the thing about touch, the character can affect two people with one attack, quote, in most cases, but not all. Thanks? Here is a thing that is true some of the time. You figure it out. It's like, why'd you bring it up? As you can imagine, it's hard to pick through a page like this for a dumbest thing, but I did find one that really struck me. I went with my gut on this one, and I pulled out the thing that made me roll my eyes most when I first read it. And here it is. It's under the description of area of effect. So first we get a definition of the concept of an area of effect. Now we get a little guidance on how to apply area of effect. Quote, everyone in that given area or radius will fall under the effects of that power. Spoilers, no they won't. An effect slash force with a 15-foot radius will affect, or has the potential to affect, everybody within the circle of its power or radius. Again, not actually true. In many instances, which ones? Who can say? Each individual caught in its radius gets to make a saving throw, which I guess is just up to your discretion. Is there a save? I guess all powers, right? We had said on the previous page, give you, except when they don't. So, whatever. In others, each must vacate the area of effect to escape its influence. Those just outside the area or radius of effect are untouched and unaffected by the forces within, but if they enter that radius, they too may suffer or fall under its power. Roll to save when applicable. There's this area, you see, and there's an effect happening in that area. We call this an area of effect. Now, if you're in that area, you will be affected. Maybe. Sometimes. Unless you save. You may get a save, or you may not. If you're outside that area of effect, you won't be affected. But, and this is crucial, if you were to enter that area, in some cases, you would begin to be affected. If you fail your save, if you get one, if the effect affects everyone in its area. I know this is hard to parse, and part of the reason for that is the extremely advanced terminology. So let me break it down for you with a definition of the word radius. And this is the dumbest thing in this page. Quote, radius is like the circular ripple that appears when a stone is dropped in a pool of water. It radiates out along the surface of the water, only in this case, the ripple stops at a particular size and continues to affect everybody within that radius or circle. In most cases, the radius or diameter is measured along a flat surface and affects everybody in that area up to about 10 to 15 feet above the ground or floor as the case may be. It is not usually a 3D spherical effect that goes through the floor to the basement or to the floors above the ceiling. Okay, so the radius of a superpower, listen, it's not that complicated. Let me explain it to you in terms you can understand. It's like when you drop a stone into a pond and the water ripples out in a round, if only there were a name for this round shape, but I can't think of any other way to explain it. It ripples out in a round shape, a two-dimensional round shape. And then you know how the water will then stop at a defined radius or diameter, two interchangeable terms for what I'm talking about, as we all remember from geometry class. And then the ripple will stop in the water, and then everyone standing within the ripple will continue to be affected by the ripple for the duration of the effect. It's like that. I hope this cleared things up. I don't know what bizarre convolutions led the author to this totally misleading and wrongheaded image for the simple concept of a circle. But I think what happened is that the author was trying to explain that the radius doesn't extend upward. Like, it's more like a cylinder. It's more like a short, wide. It's a tuna can template that your effects happen on. They don't go far above or below you. They just go a long ways out in like a cylinder around you. I think that's what the author is trying to convey. This, of course, is not true. If you, as I did, I looked at this image and I honestly was bamboozled. I was totally confused by why the author decided to put this in this way. I felt the need to have like a nature metaphor at all for this simple geometrical concept. So I looked up the word radius as used in the superpowers, which I promise you we're about to talk about in the superpower section. And what I found is of the 22 instances I was able to locate, of superpowers that actually use the word radius to describe the area of their own effect, exactly 11 of them do or may work this way. 11 of them, 50%, seem on the basis of their descriptions not to work in the way described here. For example, the radius of a sonic effect, or like the radius of your heightened hearing, slow motion control, which has a radius but only affects a limited number of people within that radius, so it's really a range instead of an area. Many powers that describe having a radius but actually give their area of effect in terms of, quote, area using linear measurements, so you don't know what they're talking about, since they apparently use diameter and radius interchangeably. It is so palladium. It is such the dumbest thing on this page that we have resorted to an out-of-place, like, haiku-like nature metaphor to explain the simple concept of a circle in order to convey to you, the reader, that when a power has a radius, it's not really a radius. It's a compass drawn around you that is 10 to 15 feet tall and affects everyone inside of it. And all of that turns out to be true exactly 50% of the time. So that this section, this paragraph, is not even consistently wrong. It is right and applies exactly half the time with no indication of when that would be. You could not make a more decisive waste of paper than this page by feeding it into a fucking shredder. With that, the boring bullshit introduction to superpowers is over, and I'm so happy. Let's forget this ever happened. Today we're discussing page 226 of Heroes Unlimited. We are in the superpower section. For a few days now, we've been talking about boring bullshit, whatever popped into the author's mind, and we all sat and politely listened. It was like the opening band, you know? I don't care about this, but I'm here, I paid my money, and this is about to get good, so whatever, let me get situated. But I hope you got your drinks and everything by now, because it's really happening. We are beginning the process of getting and describing superpowers on this page. We start with a description of the difference between minor and major superpowers, and once again recapping who gets superpowers and who doesn't. It's quite simple. Minor super abilities are less powerful and narrower. Major superpowers are more powerful, and oftentimes they're like suites of effects. Pretty straightforward. We also get a little blurb about exciting changes in Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition. Quote, a new feature of the random tables is the combination of a few psionic powers with super abilities, although such combinations are comparatively uncommon in the world of Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition. For those of you who may not be aware, in the previous edition of Heroes Unlimited, psionics and super abilities were two different things, and never the two shall meet. In 2nd Edition, this table that we're about to talk about, the number and category of super abilities table, has some options you can roll that mix up super abilities and psionics. We have, of course, seen this before in the experiment section and the mutant section. But this is a modification to the main number and category of abilities table. So obviously this is a revolution in gameplay for some players. This is the dumbest thing on this page. We are now beginning the random super ability selection tables. These are going to be the random tables that give us our superpowers. And tomorrow, we're going to be getting onto the tables for specific powers, the big long tables that list all the powers in no particular order with percentile entries, and so you roll percentile and you figure out which actual powers you have. This page has the number and category of super abilities table, which you roll on to determine what kind of powers you have. For example, one major and three minor, or four minor, or one super psionic power and one major super ability, so on and so on. However, when I say you roll on this table, probably you won't roll on this table if you should decide to play Heroes Unlimited. Because, as it turns out, the quote-unquote general table for determining super abilities is only used by one very narrow type of character. As this page lays out, there are just a few types of super characters who get superpowers at all. Aliens, experiments, certain magic characters, ones with enchanted objects, or who have like mystically bestowed powers, the ones who say Shazam and they turn into Captain Marvel. Mutants, and that's basically it. All of them have separate specific tables to determine how many powers you get. None of them use this table. If you play an alien, you roll on a separate subtable to see which power category you are in addition to being an alien, as you'll recall from Borgen. If you roll experiment, or mutant, or magic, you create them as usual using their specific tables. Only in the case where you roll an alien who naturally has super abilities as part of their alien physiology and shares those abilities with other members of their species, in that case only, you then have a decision to make. You get three choices. You can take one major and one minor power of your choice. You can take four minor powers of your choice, or you can roll on the random ability tables. If we assume that rolling on the random ability tables means that you roll on the random number of ability tables, then this one fraction of a single power category gets to roll on this table. Please note that this is many random rolls deep into character creation. I did the math, and given that only 14% of characters who roll on this table will get a combination of super and psionic powers, I discovered that this revolution in gameplay, where you can combine super and psionic powers, will affect a proportion of player characters equal to 0.0042. That's about 1 in 250 player characters. All other character types, this makes no difference. The table itself only applies to maybe 3% of all characters. This is a prime example of wasted design, especially given that it's a revision. It's like You know, the fans asked for it, so here it is. You can play superpowers with psionic powers if you are in the 3% of all characters who will ever roll on this creaky, disused ghost town of a table with tumbleweeds blowing through it. And this is under the generous reading that if you have an alien with natural abilities, when it says roll on the random ability tables, it means roll randomly for number and category of abilities. I am looking for a way to get this table into the action. Because I think under alien natural powers, when it says roll on random ability tables, what it means is roll randomly for, you know, four minor abilities or one major ability. What I really think, and this is the dumbest thing on this page, is that this is like a dummied out table. Like this is a table that they wrote and it exists, but they didn't actually connect any of the character types to it. So while this is meant to be the general purpose roll for super abilities table, it actually applies to no characters. And that's palladium up and down, but the fact that they're bragging about the new feature it introduces in the other column just like edges it that extra notch up as a classic of palladium design. In response to fan outcry, we have added a previously missing option to the game on this table that no one rolls on. Anyway, Borgen doesn't need to roll on this table. We already know what she's got. She's got four random super abilities. We just don't know what they are. Join me tomorrow as we find out, or rather, I find out, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Today we're discussing page 227 of Heroes Unlimited. It's a big day. My little pug girl is out there on the curb waiting for the school bus. It's her first day. That's how I feel, because we're about to find out, or rather, I'm about to find out, what Borgen's four minor super abilities are. We have arrived at the random ability tables that give big lists of all the minor and major super abilities in the game, and you roll on them randomly to determine your powers. Here's how this is going to work. I want to keep you guys in some suspense about Borgen's power set. I want to talk about the powers that she's got as we arrive at them. Now, this isn't going to work if I spoil it for you by rolling for them all on this page and revealing them. You're just going to skip ahead in the book and read up on them, and it's not going to be fun when we get there. So, what we're going to do in maybe the worst idea I've ever had, and I have a daily podcast, we're going to do a sort of reaction podcast, okay? After we're done talking about the dumbest thing on this page, which we're going to get to shortly, I am going to roll a percentile, and I'm going to secretly determine, live on mic, what Borgen's superpowers are. Then, as we arrive at the relevant pages in the book, as we proceed through this section, I will reveal them one by one, and you'll find out as we go what Borgen's powers are. So for now, all you're going to hear is my verbal reaction to her power set. If you like reaction videos, you're going to love reaction audio. But we'll get to that soon. For now, let's talk about the dumbest thing on this page, which, because we've got a lot of other business to take care of, we're fortunate that the dumbest thing is pretty simple on this page. It is the illustration at the bottom of the page. You can check this out on the Instagram, or if you prefer, you can flip forward in the book 59 pages and find a larger version of this very same image in the same section. In this image, let me set the scene. It's a tabletop. We're only seeing the edge of it. There is a cigarette precariously balanced on the edge of the table. There is a frothy mug of beer, and between the cigarette and the beer is a tiny little, like, commando guy. He is armored up. He's standing in an action stance. Legs spread, kind of crouching, arms out. He's got some kind of a headband on, so his little tiny hairs don't get in his little tiny eyes. And I don't know what grim mission this tiny commando is on, but I know he means business because he is wielding a teeny tiny pistol. I mean, it's very big relative to his hand. Tremendous. But it's still got a barrel length of like maybe a quarter of a cigarette in length. I really like this illustration. Normally when you see shrinky little superheroes, they're very whimsical. I like the idea of a tiny grim warrior with a sidearm. And that sidearm is the dumbest thing on this page. And I'll tell you why. The shrinking super ability does not give you the ability to shrink your gear. You can't just grab your commando gun and then shrink down and expect that commando gun to go with you. It doesn't work that way. Now, there is an item reduction power coming later as well. You can shrink items with this. However, you can't shrink them this much, at least not with a single item reducer. It's complicated. But even if you could, the item reduces in damage, if it's a weapon, to the point of uselessness if it were this small. Now, analyzing the scene, here's what I believe. This tiny commando, this mere mote of a murderer, he is on a table with a beer and a cigarette. He's looking up and he's wielding his gun. He has a holster on his hip. He has a little adorable holster on his hip. So he could have this gun safely secured away. I think based on his commando training, I think he's got this weapon out because he is about to attack. or be prepared to defend himself. And he's looking up at someone sitting at a table with beer. He's up against a full-size human adversary, you know, or a human or an alien, whatever. Sometimes aliens like to have a smoke, but you know what I mean. He's not fighting like tiny terrorists. He is wielding that gun against a normal human-sized foe. That makes no sense unless this gun is effective against a foe that size. So I believe that this gun was constructed at this size. I don't believe it was shrunk down. I don't think that works with the rules of Heroes Unlimited. I think whatever sponsoring organization outfitted Tiny Commando, they had to go to a specialist and say, we're looking for a big fat gun, like a double Desert Eagle, but we need you to make it at like 1/50th scale. We need you to get out your jeweler's tools and make us a big fat Desert Eagle scaled down to like a half inch. Because only if it was constructed at this size could it still do any kind of decent amount of damage. Fortunately for them, fortunately for the sponsoring agency, remember, this is what hardware weapons characters specialize in. They're not good at much, but they are goddamn experts at creating weapons at tiny sizes. As we discussed back in the hardware section, if you're a gun lover, it's a bit underwhelming that your only really good ability is the ability to make smaller and smaller guns. But in this case, this is a marriage made in miniature heaven. Shooty McGee may be a sad case, but when the itty-bitty insurgent initiative came to him and said, can you make us an ultra derringer that's like a half inch long? I think a tear came to Shooty McGee's eye. Finally, his day had come, and he was like, yes, yes, I can make that derringer. This illustration honestly is really fun, and that tiny little gun, especially knowing that it had to have been made at that size per the rules of this game, it's the dumbest thing in this page, and it's just my favorite. I will play Tiny Commando in your actual play podcast. Please, email the show. Or if you want to be Tiny Commando, I'll be Shooty McGee. I'll be your Q. I got your back. Your little back. So that's the dumbest thing on the page. Now we're going on to Borgen business. This is going to be an experiment in podcasting, so bear with me. Okay, the moment of truth. The last major random event in Borgen's character creation, we're going to find out what her superpowers are, what those medical experiments did to my poor, dumb, unlikable baby. Here we go. Okay, this is going to change her looks a bit, which I am protective of, but I'll try to roll with it. I think she'll still be cute, which is mainly what I'm concerned about. Rolling now for number two. Another physically based one. Shouldn't interfere. I think she can have both of these powers. Number three, a form of attack. Nice to have. Bit of an oddball compared to the others. And now number four. A 90s power for sure, this one. So that'll be interesting to incorporate into what has become quite a retro feel, I think, to Borgen. So overall, I'm excited about trying to coordinate all of these and work them into Borgen's concept and her aesthetic. So we'll reveal them as we go. Join me tomorrow as we do a little more discussion of these random tables themselves and superpower descriptions begin on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That's ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Art of Escapism, whose work you can find at soundcloud.com/artofescapism. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.